All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, and we are picking up. I apologize for the speed in which we went through Chaf Beis Amud Beis. In Meretz Hashem, we'll close out the sugya with a bit more clarity. So we left off in Meretz Hashem on Chaf Beis Amud Beis 22b, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. So supposed to remember again, just to reorient ourselves, we are focusing over here on a machlokas in Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, namely about the concept of safek mi'ila. Person may have committed a mi'ila, may not have committed a mi'ila. What do you do in a case of safek mi'ila? We essentially saw three different opinions. We saw Rabbi Akiva, who says that you're bringing Asham Talui. We saw the Chachamim, who say that you are Pater. And we saw Rabbi Tarfon, who introduced an interesting hybrid shita. 14 lines up from the bottom. We go ahead and we see an interesting hybrid shita, which is that Halacha Lamaisa, pay the Me'ila. Rabbi Tarfon suggests, pay the Me'ila and bring a karban al Tanai. If you're chayiv for it, ultimately, again, it should be your asham. If you're not chayiv for it, it's an asham talui. If you're chayiv the money, it's repayment. If you're not chayiv the money, then it's a nedava. And Rabbi Akiva said, okay, Rabbi Tarfon, I hear your position, but only when you're dealing with a relatively minimal amount of mi'ila. So Rebbe said, the Gemara, so I'm picking up in the middle of their drashas, ahachi kasav rachmana v'im nefesh. So therefore, again, the pasuk said, V'im nefesh vav mosif al inyan rishon. The vav ultimately, again, I must remember again, this goes back to what the Gemara thought was originally the machlokis of lemeidin elyon mitachton. Remember, elyon refers to the halachos of mi'ila, those come earlier in the Torah. Tachton is asham talui, they are juxtaposed to one another. So the Gemara understands that the vav is a connector between these two concepts. Hanich alaman de darish zos terasa asham. This makes sense according to the opinion who darshins the zostrasa asham elaman de lo darish zostrasa asham ma'ikala meimar. But I will say, if you don't subscribe to the drasha of zostrasa asham, remember again in yesterday's daf, that drasha taught us that the minimum value of an asham taloi is 2 shkalim. Yolif be'erkecha be'erkecha me'asham me'ila. He'll learn Ephraim Exer Shavav erkecha erkecha from asham me'ila. I asham shivcha charufa lo kasuba be'erkecha yafiran ba'ayil ayam. And I will say, the ashram of a shivcha charufa, we spoke about extensively the case of shivcha charufa. So the Gemara says, where it doesn't write the word be'erkecha, we have a gzer shavav ayil ayil. And that teaches us that the ashram of a shivcha charufa must also be worth a minimum of 2 shkalim. Mode Rabbi Akiva vim safek. My kamra, I will say, so what is the Mishnah saying? Amar Rav Tani in Besveka Omeid li olam yehe asham taloi. So remember again, this is in Rabbi Tarfon's model. In Rabbi Tarfon's model, I will say, where ultimately again, you are bringing, I'm sorry, where Rabbi Akiva says that you bring in asham taloi. So what does that mean? It means that halacha lamaisa, in the event that the matter never becomes clarified, that asham taloi serves your needs. Also remember again, we saw this before. The concept of asham talui in reality is not technically speaking a end stage carbon. What do I mean by that? When do you bring in asham talui? Remember, we saw this in Rashi. You bring in asham talui in the case of doubt. I'm not sure what I'm chayiv, and the asham talui, quote unquote, protects me until there's a clarification of circumstances. If there's never a clarification of circumstances, then what? Then what? Then I have my asham talui. That's it. That's the Gemara says over here. That in the event that the safek never becomes clarified, the asham talui takes care of my responsibilities. The Gemara ends off. Shemimin shehevi ahoda amevi ashal ahoda. So remember again, the beauty of Rabbi Tarfon's model. Rabbi Tarfon says, if you have a safek mi'ila, no problem. Here's what you do. Go ahead. Give the money to the Beis HaMikdash. If you're chayiv the money, it's repayment. If you're not chayiv the money, it's a nedava. What do you do with the karban? The karban, you also bring it conditionally. If you're chayiv, it's an asham. If you're not chayiv, it's an asham tali. And the beauty is that it's the same type of animal that you bring both for a definitive asham mi'ilos as well as an asham tali. So you're covered all around. So says the Gemara, sof, kimis yadalei. Both say, interestingly enough, what you learn from here is that at the end of the day, in asham talui cases, halacha lemaisa, when if you ever do find out what you definitively did, and it turns out that you committed an act of mi'ila, so what is the halacha? You are obligated to bring a definitive asham. Amarava Rava says, Midibre Shneim Nilmad, from both of their statements we learn, Asham Vadai Lo Boy Yidi Lechatila. It was interestingly enough, an Asham Vadai does not require definitive knowledge at the outset. And what's the Gemara saying over here is, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the fact that I could bring a conditional carbon, I bring a conditional carbon, and I say, if I committed mi'ilah, this is my asham. If I didn't commit mi'ilah, then it's my asham talui. Let's say it turns out later on that I did in fact commit mi'ilah. According to Rabbi Tarfon, I don't have to bring another asham. Which is very interesting. Why? Because I brought that asham without definitive foreknowledge. So from here you see that one does not require definitive foreknowledge ultimately again when bringing an asham. Good. So both say, Saloch alamaisa, how do we pass? And just to close out this sugya with a bit of clarity. So remember again, three-way machlokas, what do you do in a case of safek mi'ilah? So the Gemara says as follows. The Rambam says as follows. Here, we'll see like this. The Rambam actually quotes this in two different places. He writes, Nistapku, this is in Hilchos Mi'ilah Perak Aleph Halacha Hei, Nistapik lo imal o lo ma'o. What happens if a person is Mesupak? Did I commit Mi'ilah, not commit Mi'ilah? Pacha min atashlumin. I don't have to repay, right? Because I don't have to repay anything, because I don't know if I did something wrong or not. Umina karban. And I am also pater from a karban. So we'll say, so the Rambam paskin like the Chachamim, namely that in a case of safek mi'ilah, nothing. There's no asham talui. The Rambam says, no asham talui, we know already from before, no asham talui, and of course, no obligation to pay both the Karen and the Chomesh. So halacha l'maisa, we pass like the Chachamim. Beautiful. Weiter. Ha'isha, so we'll say, let's go on. Ha'isha, sheviya. We'll say an interesting case. We're talking about over here about the following situation. A woman gave birth. Remember, we actually referenced this before. Woman gives birth under normal circumstances. She has to bring karbanos. If she has a safek leda, so a safek leda comes about in a number of different ways. She's not sure what she gave birth. Let's say the baby, the birth didn't survive, but she's not sure, was it developed enough, not developed enough, male, female. Male, female doesn't matter so much in this case. Right, did it have a surah savlad, not have a surah savlad? Remember again, we saw all of these cases. Not every birth generates karbanic liability. So we'll say that's our case over here. A woman is bringing a karban yoledes, misafik. Now watch this. This is very interesting. Ha'isha she'evia chata sa'uf. If a woman brings a chata sa'uf, remember, so this is for birth. So we'll say, listen to this case. So she's bringing a chata sa'of. Now look at Rashi. Chata sa'of, safek yelda, min pater o min chiyuv. She gave birth. She's not sure. Is she obligated to a karban or not? So what's the halacha? Mevia kina ola, mevia umasne, im min chiyuvu ze olasa, ve'im lav tehina dava. So we'll say, so what does she do? She brings a conditional karban. If I'm chayev a karban for the leida, then what? This should be my karban. And if I'm not chayev a karban for the leida, then what? Then ultimately, again, this should be a nedava. This, of course, only works with her ola offerings. Does not work with her chatas offerings. Remember, again, you can't bring a nedava from a chatas. Okay, fine. So she goes in and she's bringing a safek karban because maybe she gave birth maybe she had a birth that makes her karbonically liable. So she's bringing the safek karban. Watch this. I should say karban misafek. Im achlo nimlaka no dola she yelda vadai. So we'll say, watch this. They're about to go ahead and do malika on her birds. And she finds out somehow the circumstances become clarified that what? She did definitively give birth. Meaning, I should say, she gave birth to a baby that makes her karbonically liable. So the safek is clarified before the bird is slaughtered. So what's the halacha? No problem. Well, see, here's the good news. Just offer the bird not as a safek, but as a vadai ola. Why? Because we'll say it's the same carbon either way. In other words, the same carbon that she's bringing for safek is the same carbon that she would bring for vadai. So no problem there. Chaticha shel chulin v'chaticha shel hagdish. Listen to this case. If let's say again, a person has in front of them a piece of chulin and a piece of hagdish. So both say, so what happens? Food we're talking about. I ate one of them, but I don't know which one I ate. Pater Rabbi Akiva, excuse me, Pater. Chacham say you're potter. Rabbi Akiva mechayiv asham taloi, and Rabbi Akiva says that you are chayiv. Also remember again, this actually is the same case as the previous Mishnah. This is safek me'ila, right? So the shayla over here: did I eat something belonging to the Beis Hamikdash or not? Safek me'ila. What's halacha safek me'ila? Chacham and paskin potter. Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv and asham taloi. Next, now watch this. So I ate one piece. Then, so this is good. Achal es hashnia. I then ate the second piece. So what's the halacha over here? Maybe asham vadai. Then I will say at that point, I bring in asham vadai. Why do I bring in asham vadai? Why? Because one thing is clear is that I definitely ate the yisr. Right? I definitely ate the yisr. Achal es harishon ba achar ba achal es hashnia. Listen to this. I ate the first piece. Reuven comes along and eats the second piece. So what's the halacha? Zem maybe asham talav. Zem maybe asham talav. Div Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say both Reuven and I, right? I eat the first piece. Reuven eat the second piece. Each of us bring in asham talav. Div Rabbi Akiva. Because right, we don't know exactly which one of us went ahead and ate the meila piece. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says shneyin mevin asham echad. No, in fact, that's not what we do. Rather, we bring one asham b'shutfos. One asham b'shutfos. Look at Rashi. B'shutfos, last line. V'yomer zeh lazeh emachatach adichashal kodesh yechal kimachuloch. V'yasham kuloach. Well, so we bring, so Reuven and I bring an asham in partnership. And what do we say? Essentially, make it tonight. If I'm the one who ate the meila piece, then ultimately, again, the carbon is mine. You yield your portion to me. And if you ate the me'ila piece, I yield my portion to you. Rabbi Yossi says, Tap of Chav Gimel, Ein Shnai Mevin Asham Echa. No, it doesn't work that way. Two people cannot share in an Asham. Now, Rabbi Yossi, what's Rabbi Yossi's Svara? If you take a look at the Tap Rashi, Ein Shnai Mevin Asham Echa, the less late Tanai Bikarbanos. Rabbi Yossi does not agree with the concept that there's t'nai in karbanos. We'll see what this means. Ela im kedivrei chacham and p'turin, v'im kedivrei Rabbi Akiva kol echa maybe asham tali. So Rabbi Yossi says you can't bring a karban with a t'nai. And therefore again, Rabbi Yossi, now I want to just point out, Rabbi Yossi is not going ahead and necessarily coming up with his own shita. Rabbi Yossi just saying, t'alacha is either like Rabbi Akiva or like the Chachamim. So either you're Pater Legamre, because there's just no Asham in general for, there's no Asham Tali for Me'ila, or you'll be Chayiv, each of them like Rabbi Akiva. But ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon, I disagree with your concept of a Tanai. Next case. These are really very interesting. Chatichas Chelev and Chatichas Chulin. Also, listen to this. You have a piece of Chelev and a piece of Chulin. So remember again, Chelev, Isser Kares, Chulin, totally fine. Achal Achas, Me'aveni Odeh Ezen, Achal, I ate one of them, but I don't know which one I ate. Acha, so what's talacha? Maybe asham talui. So we'll say, that's a great case, right? Beautiful, simple, open and shut. Asham talui, right? Two pieces. One of them is forbidden. I ate one of them. I don't know which one I ate. That is a paradigmatic case of an asham talui. Beautiful. Good. Acha les hashnia. But then if I ate the second piece, maybe chatos. We'll say there, again, also easy. If I eat the second piece, I'm chayav chatos. Why? I definitely ate chelev. Good. Achal echad es harishono ba'achar ve'achal es hashnia. Listen to this case. I ate one piece. I ate piece number one. Reuven comes along and eats piece number two. So what's the halacha? Ze maybe asham taloi. Vizet maybe asham taloi. So we'll say, what's the halacha? We each bring in asham taloi. Because maybe you ate chelev, maybe I ate chelev. Did Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shimon says no. Shnein mevi'in chatos achas. Rabbi Shimon says you don't have to do that, but rather again we could both participate in the same chatos. And again, same idea with the tnai. If you're the one who ate the chelev, so ultimately again the chelev is, so the carbon is yours, right? We didn't get to Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara says good. The excitement is good. Baruch Hashem. Melt, I give you the bracha that you should never be patient when it comes to Torah. The Meretz Hashem. It's the greatest midah. So I'll read the next line. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Shnai Levin Chatos Achos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So it's a fundamental machlokes. Also, so you have Rabbi Shimon saying, listen, there's no need for two karbanos. We know that one of the two went ahead and committed the Avera. Let them bring a Chatos B'Shotfos and make it tonight. Rabbi Yossi says, no tonight when it comes to karbanos. Next case. Chaticha achas, chaticha schelev, chaticha kodesh. But we'll say again, so this is another fascinating case. piece of chaylev and a piece of kodesh. So let's just understand, what are my problems over here? Chaylev is an iser kares, chaylev is chaylev. Kodesh is mi'ilah. So I have two pieces. Both are prohibited, different prohibitions. One is chaylev, one is kodesh. Acho, achas, me'abinadeh, ezim, and acho. So let's say if I ate one of them, but I don't know which one I ate. So again, that's an easy case. Maybe asham talui. So once again, remember, any time I don't know what I did, even if technically speaking both are aser, although we'll see this is subject to some dispute, I bring in asham taloi. Achal es hashnia. What happens now if I eat the second piece? Maybe chatos v'asham vaday. Now, both of this case gets a little bit more complicated. Why? Because chaylev and mi'ilah have two different karbonic liabilities, right? Chaylev is chayev chatos, and mi'ilah is chayev an asham vaday. An asham. Not asham vaday. In other words, it's contrasting with the asham taloi, right? An asham. So therefore, again, if I eat both pieces, I have to bring a chatos and an asham. If I ate one piece and Reuven came and ate a second piece, so what's the halacha? Zeh maybe asham taloi, v'zeh maybe asham taloi. So we'll say in that case, each person brings an asham taloi. Rabbi Shimon says no problem. Shnehen mevi'en chatas v'asham. Rabbi Shimon says let us just both bring a chatas and an asham between us. And again, same thing. We'll bring it b'shutfos and with a t'nai. Rabbi Yossi Omer Einstein Mevi'en Chatas Va'asham Echad. Rabbi Yossi, again, Rabbi Yossi says it's the same machlokas. We're going to see each of these cases bring their own novelties. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, Rabbi Yossi is Lishitaso. You can't bring, it's not that Rabbi Yossi has a problem with a karban b'shutfus. It's not really the problem of a partnership. His problem is with a t'nai, right? He said, there is no t'nai b'karbanos. So if you're bringing this as a t'nai, simply not going to work. Next case. Chatichas Chelev. Get ready for this. Great. Chatichas Chelev v'chatichas Chelev Kodesh. Wow. Let's say, so listen to this. I have two pieces of meat. One is Chelev, and the second one is Chelev that is Kodesh, right? Chelev that is Kodesh. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, which means that this Chelev ultimately again has, so I want to be clear. Chelev in general is Aser, right? This is Chelev of a carbon. Right, chaylev of a carbon, or chaylev which belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. So now I have an iser chaylev, and I have an iser mi'ilah. So says the Gemara, achal achas mehen ve'en yodeh me'ezeh mehen achal. So I ate one of them, but I don't know which piece I ate. So what's the halacha? Maybe chatos. I bring a chatos, because you're supposed to, why do I bring a chatos? Because, again, what's clear is I ate chaylev. So there's a shayla, did I go ahead and commit mi'ila as well. So let's remember again, the shita of the chacham, this is the chacham l'shitas that began in the last mishnah, which is what? Chachamim hold that you are pater for safek mi'ila. Remember, that's how we just saw it. That's how the Rama Paskins also. I am pater for safek mi'ila. Therefore, in this case, the only safek is if I committed mi'ila or not. But I definitely consumed chaylev. So because of that, I'm chay v'chatos. That's the chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says, af asham taloi. Ah. So we'll say Rabbi Kiva is l'shitaso. Rabbi Kiva holds that in the case of safek mi'ila, you bring in asham taloi. So Rabbi Kiva will say that if I'm not sure what I did, I bring a chatas because I definitely ate chaylev, and I'll also bring an asham taloi. Achalas hashnia. What happens now if I ate the second piece? Maybe shnei chatos v'asham vaday. Wow, listen to this. I'll say, so if I eat both pieces, then I have to bring two chatas offerings. Why two chatas offerings? One for each piece of chaylev, right? And an asham, because I definitely committed mi'ila as well. What happens if I eat the first piece? Someone else came along and ate the second piece. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Zeh may be chatos. So the chachamim will say that halacha l'maisa, both people bring a chatos, right? Because we both definitely went ahead and committed and ate chaylev. What about mi'ila? So remember again, it's still a case of safek mi'ila. Why is it a case of safek mi'ila? We know Me'ila was committed, but what? I don't know who. So because that's according to Chachamim, again, there's no karbonic liability in such a case. Rabbi Kiva says, Zeh v'zeh mevi'en asham taloi. Rabbi Kiva says they also both bring an asham taloi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Zeh mevi chatos, Zeh mevi chatos, Ushneyeh mevi'en asham echad. Rabbi Shimon again on the Bosa Lashitasa says, listen, each of them have to bring their own chatos, and together, they each have to bring their own chatos. Why? Because they both definitely ate chaylev. We're not sure which one committed mi'ila, but we know for sure that what? Someone committed Me'ila. One of the two committed Me'ila. So what do? Bring the Asham together with the Tanai. And once again, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Shnei Mevi'in Asham Echad. Can't do that. You can't have two people bring one Asham and go ahead and bring it with a Tanai with the condition. Next, Chatichas Chelev. The Chatichas Chelev. No, so listen to this. It gets even better. I have a piece of Chelev and a piece of Chelev that's Nosar. So again, remember, what's Nosar? Nosar means any carbon that's left over past its permitted window of consumption. So two pieces of chelev. It's definitely chelev. One of the pieces also is Nosar. Achal achas and v'nei de'ezem and achal. I ate one of them. I don't know which one I ate. Maybe chatos v'asham taloi. So we'll say in that case, Rabbi, I bring a chatos for the chelev consumption and an asham taloi ultimately for what? An asham taloi for the potential nosar issue. So it says the Gemara. Maybe chatos va'asham taloi. Achalas hashnia. If I went ahead and ate the second piece, maybe gimel chatos. So we'll say in that case, I bring three chatos, right? One chatos for each piece of chelev, and an additional chatos for nosar. Achal echad es harishona ba'achar ve'achal sashniyah. If I ate the first piece, Reuben came along and ate the second piece. Zeh maybe chatos va'asham taloi, v'zeh maybe chatos va'asham taloi. Then Rabbi said, each of us bring a chatos because we each both ate nosar, and we each bring an asham taloi for the. We each both ate chelev, and we each bring an asham taloi for the possibility that we consumed nosar. Rabbi Shimon says not necessary. Zeh maybe chatos, zeh maybe chatos, ushnei mevi'in chatos achos. We each bring our own chatos for the chelev consumption, but we could bring one joint chatos and make a tnai ultimately for what? For the nosar consumption. Rabbi Yossi once again says, Kol chata sheba al chet ein shnai mevino. So Rabbi Yossi, the shitasa, holds that halacha lemaisa, there is no such thing as bringing a joint carbon with a tanai. Beautiful. Amar le Rav Nachman. We'll say, let's go back to the Gemara. Rav says, Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yossi, chata shu delo maisi shneihem, ha asham talui maisi shneihem. So we'll say, interestingly enough, when you look at Rabbi Yossi's Shita, Rabbi Yossi holds that halacha lemaisa, you can't have a case of two people bringing a chatos together with a tanai. But yet it sounds like in a case of asham talui, he might agree that they could bring an asham talui together with a tanai. Now we'll say, now why would Rabbi Yossi be mechalik between a chatos and an asham talui? Because we'll say, remember again, an asham talui inherently is a carbon that operates with what? With the tanai, right? That's the whole essence of an asham taloi. So it sounds like even Rabbi Yossi, who holds the shik ain tanai bekarbanos, would hold that you can bring an asham taloi with the tanai. Well, if that's the case, haynu tanakama. Then Rabbi Yossi is really saying the same thing as the chachamim. V'chitema chaticha mishtei chatichos gabinaihu. So I'll say, maybe you want to say that maybe the distinction between Rabbi Yossi and the chachamim is whether or not you need two distinct pieces in order to generate an asham taloi liability, or whether or not it's even if you have a suffix in one item that generates liability. V'atayin Rabbi Yossi omer, zeh maybe asham taloi, v'zeh maybe asham taloi. So we'll see, you see that Rabbi Yossi holds that even in the case of chaticha achos, even if the suffix is only about one item, that could still generate asham taloi liability. Amar lei, ha-kamashlan d'man Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, you're right. What are we coming to learn? That the Tanakama ultimately, again, is reflective of, or I should say, the Tanakama of the Mishnah is none other than Rabbi Yossi. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, chatichas chelev v'chatichas chodesh. Chatichas chelev v'chodesh. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas nosa. So we'll say, it's that last case that we're going to be focusing on over here, of chatichas chelev and chatichas chelev nosa. So remember again, two pieces, both are chelev, one is nosar. If I eat one of them, remember I don't know which one, then let's go through the halachas. What do I have to do? Chatos and an asham taloi. Chatos because as I eat chelev, asham taloi, maybe I went ahead and I ate nosar. And then Rabbi said, then the machlokas, if I ate one and someone else ate one, then again we have our machlokas in the Mishnah. So it says the Gemara, Amali Rabbi Rav Nachman, why shouldn't I also have to? I should also have to bring another asham. Why? Because halacha lemaisa mi'ila, right? They both say. Remember again, if I'm potentially eating chelev that is nosar, not only is it nosar, but what? It also belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, chelev is never consumed. Which means chelev, if I'm eating chelev of nosar, that's chelev that belongs, quote unquote, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach. If I'm eating that, there should be a violation of Me'ila as well. If there's a violation of Me'ila, then I should be Chayv in Asham. To which the Gemara says, Amrle, Diles Be Shavei Pruta. No, no, the case is where the Chaylev that I'm eating is not worth a Pruta. Remember, I will say, Me'ila liability is only generated when that which I am consuming or using is worth at least a Pruta. But that's not true in the beginning part of the Mishnah. Clearly, we're dealing with a Chaylev that was worth a Pruta. Diktani Asham Vadai. Because also we spoke about before in the case of Chaylev, that if you ate both pieces, you'd be Chayv in Asham Vadai, which tells me that I am dealing with Me'ila that is Shavei Pruta. To which the Gemara says, what it means is the piece of chilev that wasn't also nosar, that piece was a shavei pruta. So the Gemara will say they changed the agos siyunim had the nosar lo shavei pruta. But the piece that was nosar was not ultimately again shavei pruta. I v'ha yesh ochal achila achas diktani be nosar v'katani maybe arba chatos v'asham echad. But there was the case of a person who eats one food item, where we did discuss the prohibition of nosar, and we said that you bring four chataos and an asham. Amar li ahu begasa, that was dealing with a large piece of nosar. So because large piece of nosar, shavei pruta, because it's shavei pruta, in achinami, you'd have to bring an additional asham because of me'ila. Vahi bedaka. And I will say, but the case of our Mishnah over here is where the piece of nosar was relatively small, right? And therefore, again, there's not, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, therefore, halacha lemaisa, there's not going to be me'ila liability. Or the Gemara says, habimos hagishamim ha'chabimos hachamo. But the other possibility is, even if it was a larger piece, one could be talking about the summer, one could be talking about the winter. What does that mean, Rabbi say? So apparently in the winter, so obviously meat doesn't go bad as quickly. Therefore, the value is higher. During the summer, where meat rots much faster, the value of the meat is much less. So it could even be the same size piece of nosar, but ultimately, again, during the winter, it would be subject to me'ila because it's shavei pruta, and the same piece will not be shavei pruta during the summer because it rots much faster, and therefore, again, you will not be chayv me'ila. The point of Osei being is that the Gemara is saying that the case of chilev nosar, we're just not dealing with me'ila. That's all it's just saying. So whatever you have to set it up, it's not a shavei pruta, it's the summertime, whatever it is, we're just not dealing with me'ila. Good. Next. Achal echad es harishona. So remember again, this is the case of, again, chatichas chelev and chatichas chelev nosar. Right? I have two pieces. Both are chelev. One is plain chelev. One is chelev that is also nosar. So let's remember again, what was the halacha over here? So if I eat one of them and I don't know which one I ate, I bring a chatas for the chelev, asham tali for the nosar. If I ate the second one, right, I eat the second one, I bring three karbanos, three chatos, right, two for chelev and one for nosar. If one ate one and someone else ate the second one, so then I will say, then we have the machlokas. Only Rav Nachman. Umi Amar Reb Shimon Isser Chalal. So we'll remember again, Rabbi Shimon's shita in this is what? That ultimately, again, each one, right, both myself and Reuven, each will bring a chatas for chilev consumption, and will bring one additional chatas jointly, with a condition for nosar. So the Gemara says, now this is very interesting. Umi Amar Reb Shimon Isser Chalal Isser. Now both say, understand, when you have chilev that is nosar, what is effectively happening over here? This is a case of Isser Chalal Isser, right? Why? Remember again, originally the item was chelev, right? Chelev. Chelev is Asser, and Chelev is punishable by Kares. When something becomes Nosar, there is an additional dimension of Isser devolving upon that same object. That's called Isser Chalal Isser. So now I will say, now the Mishnah is taking it for granted that Halacha Lamaisa, Isser Chalal Isser. So the Gemara says, does Rabbi Shimon really hold that Isser Chalal Isser? V'hatanya, we learned, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'ochan Avela B'Yom Kippurim Pater. If a person eats an Avela on Yom Kippur, they're Pater. Now I will say, don't get excited about that. What does that mean, Pater? What it means is that Halacha Lamaisa, ultimately, again, I'm pater from the Isra of Yom Kippur. Now, what that sounds like over here is that Halach Lamai says the Nevela was already Aser, right? The Nevela was already Aser. And therefore, again, the additional dimension of Iser, look at Rashi, pater ayom ekipurim, to lo asi Isra yom ekipurim v'chayala Isra Nevela. So we'll say, meaning this object was already prohibited as Nevela. Therefore, the Isra of Yom Kippur does not devolve upon it. Whatever the halachic technicalities of that are not important right now. But the point over here that we're seeing is that what? Is that Halach Lamai says, ain't Isra Chalal Isra. Amar Rav Sheish Mishas Breid Ravidi, Kigon De Achal Shabosai. So again, how can you tell me that a piece of Chilev could become Nosar? How could Chilev become Nosar? Wouldn't that be a case of Isser Chalal Isser? And yet it appears that Rabbi Shimon himself is saying, if you were to eat Nevela on Yom Kippur, you would not be Chayer for Yom Kippur in such a consumption. Why? Because that piece of meat is already prohibited as Nevela and Ein Isser Chalal Isser. To which the Gemara says, what's the case? Kigon, da'achal kulya bechelba. But I'll say the case that we're dealing with over here is where you ate the kidney together with its surrounding chalev. So Rabbi said, what it's saying over here is like this. There's no case, this is not Isser Chalal Isser. Right? Rather, Rabbi said, what's happening over here is you're eating one entity that has both the din of chalev as well as nosar. So the kidney with its fat is one entity. The kidney itself is subject to nosar. The chalev is chalev. When it says that I'm chayir for chalev and nosar, what it means is I'm eating one entity that contains both isurim, but not iser chalal iser. Look at Rashi, kulya bechelba, the leka iser chalal iser, the achelev chayiv mishum chelev, vanosar mishum kulya. It's right, I'm chayiv on the chelev because of chelev, and I'm chayiv on nosar because of the kidney. To which the Gemara says, the achal kulya bechelba, the kulya bechelba, nami hakai ala beisr olin. But one second, I will say, there's another issue when it comes ultimately again to even the kidney with its fat, which that there's an Isra of Olin, right? Olin, I will say, means that it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, right? It belongs to the Mizbeach. Hechi asi Isra nosar chayel aleh. So I will say, remember again, the kulya itself with its chaylev belongs to the Mizbeach. So how, which means I will say, it's already us when I call it Alz Hekdish, Me'ila. So how could the Isra of Nosar still devolve upon it? V'chitema, Shreli Rabbi Shimon, de Nosar Isra Chamerhu, v'chayol al Isra Kal, de Olim. So let me say like this. Even Rabbi Shimon who holds that ain't Isra Chalal Isra will agree that what? If the second Isra is more Chamer than the first Isra, then indeed Isra Chalal Isra. So we'll say, if you want to say like this, remember, what is the Gemara asking? The Gemara is saying, okay, you took care of the case of Ein Isser Chalal Isser by the case of Chilin Osir by simply telling me it's two different Isurim wrapped in one entity. What am I eating? I'm eating the kidney together with its fat. So therefore, how am I violating, and it was left over past the permitted sacrificial window. So I'm going to be Chayiv Nosir on the kidney, and I'm going to be Chayiv Chilev on the fat. There's another problem. We'll say, that kidney and that fat is already Osir. It's already Osir. Why is it Osir? Because it belongs to the Mizbeach. Once it belongs to the Mizbeach, ultimately again, it's Hektish, it's Me'ila. So ultimately again, how could the prohibition of Nosar devolve upon the kidney itself when the kidney is already Osir Alz Hektish? So Gemara says, well, maybe Rabbi Shimon holds that Allah Lamaisa Isser Chalal Isser when the second Isser is more Chomer. And in this case over here, the Isser of Nosar is more chamer than the Isra, what he calls the Isra of Olin, the Isra of Hegdish. I the Gemara Tzvaha Nevela the Isra Kalu V'yom Kippurim the Isra Chamerhu V'lo Kasi Isra Yom Kippurim the Chamer V'Chala Nevela the Kal. But here's the problem with that. What did we just say before? Rabbi Shimon actually holds on what Rabbi said, that if you eat Nevela on Yom Kippur, right, you're Chayiv, but you're only Chayiv for what? For what? For Nevela consumption, not for Yom Kippur. Why? Because the Isser of Nevela was already there before Yom Kippur, and Ein Isser Chalal Isser Nabosai. No one would argue that what? That Allah said the Isser of Yom Kippur is much more chamer than the Isser of Nevela. Yet, what do you see? That the Isser of Yom Kippur does not devolve on top of Nevela, which sounds like Rabbi Shimon holds, that even in the case of where the second Isser is an Isser chamer, it still doesn't devolve upon the item. To which the Gemara says, Ella, we'll say fascinating concept, last line, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Ella Bekodshim Gali Rachmana De Isser Chalal Isser. And we'll say, you're right, Karbanos are an exception. Karbanos are an exception. When it comes to Karbanos, the Torah tells us, Isser Chalal Isser, separate din by Karbanos. We didn't know something, the Sanya Amud Beis, Asher La Hashem, the Pasuk says, V'hanefesh Asher Tov Karbosim Yizemech Hashlam Asher La Hashem, bless you. Karbanos, which belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabos es Ha'imurin, right? It comes to include what? The limbs. Ve'imurin kai alai be'isr olin. V'chelev, right? V'chelev kai alai be'isr kares. V'ka'asi isr tuma chai alai. So I'll say, interesting, if the Torah talks about over here, Asher LaHashem tells me that if a person eats Karbanos in a state of tuma, sahalocha lemaisa, they get kares, Torah says. Even though the items that they're eating are already prohibited, you see that halacha lemaisa, there's still an additional level of prohibition when consuming it as tmeim. So what do you see from here? You see from here that no matter what you hold about isra chal al isra in Gan's Torah, when it comes to karbanos, everyone agrees isra chal al isra. That's the halacha. Everyone agrees that isra chal al isra, and therefore, again, Rabbosi, you can have a case of where nosar devolves upon chalev, so on and so forth. Anything to do with sacrificial items, apparently everyone will hold isra chal al isra. Teida, and I'll prove this to you. Shekenu, the harebi spirulei isra chal al isra. Right? Because I'll tell you, for example, Rebbe holds Isser Chal al Isser. Behani Mili, Isser Chal al Isser Kal. Aval Isser Kal al Isser, Aval Isser Kal al Isser, al Isser Chamor Lo. So I'll say, even Rebbe, right? Rebbe holds Isser Chal al Isser. But when does Rebbe hold Isser Chal al Isser? Right? Only when it's Isser Chamor al Isser Kal. But Isser Kal, Isser Chamor, Rebbe holds that Isser Chal al Isser when the second Isser is stricter than the first. And it could devolve upon the already prohibited item. But if the second Isser is more kal than the first, Rebbe will hold in Isser Chal al Isser. Yet, when it comes to Kachim, it will be Kachim Shamin Ali the Amar, Isser Kal al Isser Chamar, Na Michael. And I'll both say, even Rebbe holds, again, this is incredible. Even Rebbe, who normally holds Isser Chal al Isser only when the second Isser is more Chamar, by Kachim he holds that even if the second Isser is more Kal, nevertheless what? Halacha l'maisa, it'll still be Kal on the pre-existing prohibition. Where do we know this from? Here we go. The Isser Mi'ila Kal Hu Misa, this is actually quite fascinating. Mi'ila. Vosai, what is the chiyuv for Mi'ila? If a person does Mi'ila b'mezid, Mila b'mezid. I take temple property and I use it b'mezid. The punishment is misa b'dei shamay. Interestingly enough, the punishment is misa b'dei shamay. Now, we'll say, not our topic for today, but although we use the terms misa b'dei shamay and kares interchangeably, they are in fact different punishments, right? Death at the hands of heaven and kares are actually two different things. We're not going to get into that, but you're going to see that right now. So punishment for Mi'ila B'mezid is Mi'ila B'Shamayim. V'Isser Kodshim, and when it comes to Isser Kodshim, so it changes this, from Isser Kodshim to Isser Chalev. Isser Chalev is Isser Chamer Kares. So most remember again, Chalev is punishable by Kares. Kares is more Chamer than Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And yet what? So both say, watch this. You have Chalev, very exciting. You have Chalev, which is punishable by Kares. You have Mi'ila b'mezid, right? You have Mi'ila b'mezid, which is punishable by Misa b'Shamayim. Now watch this. Va'asi iser misa chayala iser kares. And I was saying, we know that what? That ultimately, again, a piece of chalev that becomes the property of the Beis HaMikdash becomes subject to what? Mi'ila. Even though what? What's happening over here? You have something that is punishable by kares, and I was taking on an additional level of prohibition, layer of prohibision, as being punishable by Mi'ila, which is the Shema. So what I will say, what do you see from here? You see that when it comes to Kachim, Isser Chal al Isser, remember again, Chalev is already Aser, yet the prohibition of Mi'ila is going to devolve upon that Chalev, even though what? The prohibition of Mi'ila is more lenient, so to speak, is less intensity than the prohibition of Chalev. Disanya, Rebbe Omer, Kol Chalev LaHashem, the Rabbi say, Murim Kachim Kan LaMi'ila. And the pasuk says, Kol Chalev LaHashem, comes to include that the limbs of Kachim Kalim are subject to Mi'ila. U'mi'ila iser misa. And Mi'ila itself is, all, quote unquote, only a prohibition that is punishable by Misa Deshamayim. The Kachayil al iser chalev, the iser karisu. And nevertheless, it evolves upon chalev, which is punishable by karis. Shmamina, bekachim galikra. So I'll say, ultimately, what do you see from here? That no matter what you hold regarding iser chalal iser bagans Torah, when it comes to Kachim, everyone is going to agree that Isser Chal al Isser, and the novelty is what? Even when the second Isser is what? Is what? Is more Kal than the first. Incredible. Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, in Pigel Ba'olin, they know Ser Ba'olin, but yet we see Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says that Pigel, Rabbi Shimon, does not devolve upon those things which ultimately, again, are offered up on the Mizbeach, and no sir does not apply to those things which are offered up on the Mizbeach. So I'll say, which sounds like Ein Isser Chal al Isser, Ela Tanoihi, the truth is, you're right. It is the Machlokes Tanoim. Valibud Rabbi Shimon. Some say that by kachim, isr chalal isr. No matter what the second isr is, whether it's chalal, whether it's chomer, it'll devolve upon the first. And others say, no, say that the same machlokes about isr chalal isr that applies to the rest of kala Torah kula ultimately applies to kachim as well. And according to the opinion that says that by kachim, ain isr chalal isr, Kol chaylev l'Hashem I avidle. What does he do with the pasuk of Kol chaylev l'Hashem? Mokim le bivlade kachim. He uses that to teach you about the offspring of kachim. De kasavri, because he holds vlade kachim b'hav yasin you kachim de tarvaya b'hadi adad yasu. It ultimately, I will say, when you have the offspring of kachim, everyone will agree that the offspring of kachim, I will say, could be something, could be an entity that is subject to both the prohibition of chaylev and mi'ilah. Why? Because even if you normally hold Enes or Chalal Isser, so that if, let's say again, the Chalif cannot be subject to the prohibition of Mi'ilah, because the prohibition of Chalif pre-existed Mi'ilah, if a Karban gives birth to another baby, right, gives birth to a baby, that offspring is automatically subject to both the prohibition of Chalif and Mi'ilah. Why? Chalif because it's Chalif, and Mi'ilah why? Because it's the offspring of a sacrificial item. What about Isser Chalal Isser? There's no Isser Chalal Isser. Why not? Why not? This simultaneity, because both these surim devolved upon the animal at once, i.e., upon the moment of birth. So we'll say the mesechta and the perek ends off with the fundamental and yisodistik machlokes, ultimately regarding what? Regarding Isser Chalal Isser. It's really fascinating. We've seen the prohibition, and we've seen the machlokes of Isser Chalal Isser many times throughout Shas. Now we're introduced to an incredibly groundbreaking and novel idea that perhaps everyone agrees that Isser Chalal Isser by Kachim. Not only that, even if by Kachim, right? We'll say ultimately again, not only that, but maybe even if the second Isser is Kal, they still hold Isser Chalal Isser. So we were going great. We thought everybody bought into this until we found out that at the end, towards the end of the parak, that's what? It's a machlokes. Machlokes tanaim. No. The truth is, even this concept is subject to some level of machlokes. Good. Hajr alach dam shechita. Vosai mazel tov. Hamevi. Good. Half a second in celebration. Good. Hamevi asham talui. Venodol shalachat. Vosai, watch this. A person goes ahead and brings an asham talui. And what happens? No dala shalochata. Yes, says about that. Right? So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, maybe asham talui, but no dala shalochata. Let's listen to this case. A person brings an asham talui. Now, this is a fascinating case. What happened over here is like this. I bring an asham talui. It does whatever the case is, right? Let's take the simplest of cases. Simplest of cases is, I have two pieces of meat. One is chelev, one is basar. Right? One is permitted, one is prohibited. What happens? I eat one of them. And what? And what? I don't know which one I ate. So what do I do about saying? Paradigmatic case, asham talui. Beautiful. I bring asham talui. This is great. So I'll say, then what happens? I find out what I did. It turns out, right, the forensic lab came back with its results. It turns out that what? Baruch Hashem, I ate basar and not chelev. But what happens? Now watch this. I will say, so now we're going to get into the interesting cases. What happens if this knowledge comes about sometime during your carbonic process? Really quite fascinating. Emach lo nishchat yatza v'yira. Be'edus. We'll say, if I did not yet shech the carbon, fantastic. As long as I didn't shech the asham talui, then I will say, what happens? That is one lucky carbon. So I'll say, what happens? We put it back out to pasture. And that's not like a metaphor, back out to pasture, right? Literally, we put it back out to pasture. In other words, the animal is fine. Chulin goes back to its regular life. Do Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say no. Yira ad she yistayv, we let it graze until it develops a mum. V'imachar v'yiplu damav v'nedavah. No, not true. Once the animal has been designated as an asham talui, it has sacrificial sanctity. Once it has sacrificial sanctity, then what? Then Allah ha'lamaisi, you have to let it go out to graze, develop a mum, sell it off, use the money for nedavah. So we'll say, as we're going to see, Rabbi Meir l'shitaso is quite interesting. Rabbi Meir holds that the whole concept of asham talui is a t'nai. That is the whole concept of it. So the whole concept is, I'm only bringing this because there's a possibility that I did something wrong. But of course, inherent in the very concept of Asham Talui is what? Is what? That if I didn't do something wrong, there's nothing going on over here. So Emir says, if you find out before Shechita that you didn't do anything wrong, we're done. We're done here. Nothing more to talk about. Animal goes back to its life. I go back to my life. Chacham say, we're going to see what the Rebbe said. The real Shah is going to be, what's the story of the Chacham? We'll see. So the Imam is right there. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yikarev, watch this. This is wild. Rabbi says, offer it. Listen, Rabbi says, listen to this. Shim eino ba'achet zeh, harehu ba'achet acher. So Rabbi says, chances are you've done something. You've done something. So if you don't bring it for this infraction, bigger stuff. Supposed to say, and I remember again, this is very exciting because remember again, we've quoted a number of times this Baba Ben Buta, Baba Ben Buta, Baba Ben Buta. I know it's ringing in your ears. Let's say, which is what? That shita that holds that you could bring in Asham Taloi every single day if you want. We've seen it quoted. We haven't seen it inside yet. Oh, we saw it. We saw it inside already. But we'll see. We'll see the whole sugi about that. So Beloza says, listen, at the end of the day, bring it. Because the truth is, chances are you've done something that requires an Asham Taloi that you probably don't even know about. So if you already started, finish it up, cover your bases. So we'll say, so remember again, oh, fine. In Mishnah Nishchat, what happens again? We'll say, I shechted the Asham Taloi. And now I just find out that what? Forensics came back and I didn't commit Navera. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, in Mishnah Nishchat, no dolo, yishpach adam. So we'll say, at that point, you pour out the blood. Remember again, essentially now, the Tanakhama will say, you can't offer up the carbon, right? Because if it turned out that I didn't do anything wrong, I can't offer up an Asham Tali if I know for sure I didn't do anything wrong, or the possibility that I didn't do anything wrong. Therefore, what do? We spill out the blood, you can't do Zrika with that blood, and you burn the animal carcass outside of the basin. Essentially, you have to discard the carbon. So the Gemara says, fine. Nizrak Adam. So we'll say, what happens if Halacha Lamai said it is Zrik already? So we'll say this. Remember again, we know from our Zvachim days that the Iker of a carbon is Zrika. So they already did Zrika. Then it comes out that I actually didn't eat Chalev. Then what's Talacha? So Vabasar Kayim. Yochal. So we'll say, if the Zrika is already done, then what? The meat can be consumed. Because once the Zrika was done, effectively what? Halacha l'maisa, the carbon has already been offered. Once it's been offered, it's done. Rashi says, Yochal habasa shari gamar kala kapara. First white line in Rashi, v'habile asham taloi kasher, shara l'sevik ba mitchila v'chiper v'hasafik halach. So again, once Rika is done, we're done. In other words, once Rika has been done, so ultimately at the end of the day, it's fine. You just essentially finish out the carbonic process. Rabbi Yossi says, afilu hadam bikos yizrak. Rabbi Yossi takes it a step further. Not only if the blood was sprinkled, is the carbon done and the meat can be consumed. Even if the blood hasn't yet been sprinkled, but it's already in the kos, already in the cup, ready to be sprinkled, Yizrok, you continue the Zrika, Babasar Yochal, and ultimately again, eat the meat. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that Kala Omed Li Zarek Kizarek Dami. Once the blood is ready to be sprinkled, it's treated as if what? As if it's already been sprinkled. So Rabbi Yossi's model, once the blood is in the cup, we're done. Asham Vadai Enokain. So we'll say, but all of this up until now is by an Asham Talui. What about by an Asham Vadai? An Asham Vadai, Achlo Nishchat. So we'll say, let's say, I went ahead and I brought an Asham Vadai. Rashi says, Enokain Bahu Vadai Lo Pligi Rabbanim. No Dolo Achlo Nishchat. Well, listen to this. So I'm bringing Asham Vadai. And what happens? Halacha L'maisa. It turns out that I found out that what I thought I did wrong, I didn't do wrong. It was a mistake. I was sure that I ate a piece of chalev. It turns out, in fact, that it wasn't chalev. It wasn't chalev. So watch this. Achlo nishchat yetziv yira be'eder. So we'll say, if I find out this information before the animal was shechted, so the animal goes out to graze, nothing happening over here. Misha nishchat, however, if it was already shechted, harizei yikaber. Ultimately, again, the carcass is buried. So ultimately, again, we'll say, if it was shechted, zva asham tadoi, then ultimately, again, I bury it like any invalid carbon. Nizrak Adam, what happens if the blood was sprinkled? Habasar Yetzir Beis HaSreifa. So we'll say, in that case, by Asham Vadai, even if the blood was sprinkled, if it turns out that I didn't do anything wrong, what's Talacha? The meat is taken out and burned. Shor HaNiskal, we'll say, same with Shor HaNiskal. What's a Shor HaNiskal? Any ox that is stoned. When is an ox stoned? So we'll say, so there are a couple of possibilities. Either, again, it went ahead and it killed someone, right? It gored someone. Or again, also, it could be a situation of where the ox was involved in a case of bestiality. So we'll say, same case. What happens if... classic case of mistaken ox identity, right? So we'll say, it turns out you got the wrong ox. It happens, right? You got the wrong ox. This is not the ox that gored. This was not the ox that was involved in this other lurid behavior, right? So I'll say, so what happens? So now, so we'll say, so let's analyze this. So now it turns out I have the wrong ox. What do I do? So we'll say if the ox has not been stoned, then what? Okay, Baruch Hashem, ox goes back to its regular life. Misha Niskal, if we stoned it and it turned out we got the wrong ox, Mutar Banah. Then ultimately, again, it is Mutar Banah. So we'll say same thing with Egla Rufa. Watch this. What's the case of Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa is find someone killed between two cities. Elders of the closest city do the price of Egla Rufa. So we'll say what happens over here. In the case of Egla Arufa, so Gimara says, Einokain Rashi says, Kasham Tal Rabbanan Dim Achlo Nerfa Nimsa Horik. That will say, case of Egla Arufa is where, ultimately, before we decapitated the calf, we find the murder. Remember again, you only bring Egla Arufa when you don't know who murdered the individual. If I know who murdered it, then there's a court case, no Egla Arufa. So in this case over here, I separated out the Egla, I'm ready to bring it, and we find the murderer. So what do? Im Achlo Nerfa Tetsiv Etzira Be'eder. So again, good news. If you found the murderer before you decapitated the calf, then what? The calf goes about its own business. Misha Nerfa, if however halacha lemaisa, the calf was already decapitated, tikaber vinkoma, it's buried in this place. Shal safek ba'am mitchila, kipro sveka v'halchala, because we'll say halacha lemaisa, remember again, if it was already decapitated, then essentially what the Mishnah is saying is, the job is done. Remember again, the whole notion of a egla arufa is only brought because of safek. So because of safek, once it's been decapitated, the job has been done, the egla is buried in place, and there is no further recourse. So I will say, we're going to see all these cases in the Gemara. Stop over here. We'll say, I will record the Parsha thought, Emir Tzashem, after davening, we'll post it on the WhatsApp. Shkoyach, and good Shabbos.
When is it buried and when is it burned?
Oh, we're going to see in the Gemara. Right, the Teitzi Leveis HaSreifa versus the Kaver Bivkoma.
Yesterday, last night, to...